We are journeying through the Gospel of John, emphasizing a new chapter each week. Our companion for today is Dr. Keith Stanglin. Keith is a professor at the Austin Graduate School of Theology in Austin, Texas.
You're listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources or to subscribe, be sure to check out our website at kingdomofgrowth.com.
We're back for John chapter 3 this week as we're continuing our journey through John. I'm here again with Dr. Keith Stanglin. Now, Keith, here in John chapter 3, we meet a character who I like to consider one of the great kind of sub-characters in this gospel, where we meet Nicodemus here, where he's meeting with Jesus at night. But then over the course of the gospel, he's gradually going to become a bit bolder to the point that he's one of the ones going to ask for Jesus's body after he's been crucified. So we see Nicodemus. You've been talking to us some about this theme of people seeing and believing. So in more of a drawn out fashion, I believe we see that in Nicodemus. But this is where we first encounter him. So why don't you talk to us a little more about what we find here in John chapter 3?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Nicodemus is one of these great secondary characters who, as you've described, is reflective of the purpose of the Gospel of John. He's one of these people that does come to fulfill its purpose, which is to record these things so that you may believe. And here's a guy who sort of is a model, maybe. Now, he comes to Jesus at night. I've heard this episode called Nick at Night. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. We're not exactly sure why he does that. Most common interpretation is that he's not yet bold enough to come during the day. But if we're going to say that, we also ought to recognize the boldness that he does have to come to Jesus. So he's in the process here, for sure, of coming to faith. It's not something that happens overnight, but it's something that he's considering here. And yeah, that boldness will increase, as you mentioned, by the time we get to the end of the story. So he has this conversation with Jesus. There's a lot of interesting things about this conversation. I might just take my time here to point out some of the things that might not be so evident to an English reader here. And it's, again, John's inclination to point out these or use these words that have a double meaning to them. And we see that in verse 3 when Jesus says, truly, truly, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. So born or begotten. And then this word that's translated again can also be translated from above. So born or begotten from above. Now, Nicodemus took it to mean born again, which is why he asks the question that he asks.
Right.
Oh, can we enter a second time, you know, into our mother so that we should be born a second time? And Jesus basically has to describe to him, no, that's not what I mean by using this word. I mean born from above. And so he uses a different phrase in verse 5.
Okay.
Born of the water and from the Spirit. So it's interesting that really if we wanted to translate it correctly there in verse 3, we would have the from above there. But I think translators are right to say again, because that's the way Nicodemus takes it. Yeah. Jesus is going to reframe that and say, no, it means what I mean here is born from above. And you look on in the chapter and you see what Jesus means by from above. It means born of the water and from the Spirit. It means if you look down at verse 31, he uses the same word again and says, the one who comes from above, same word there.
Ah, okay.
So it's not again, the one who comes again, but the one who comes from above is above all, and basically is from heaven. He says the one who comes from heaven is above all. So coming from above, this is a birth that comes from something not of this earth is the point. And Jesus uses the same, the writer uses the same concept back in chapter 1 in verse 13 when he talks about we are children of God, begotten or born from God. So that's the first thing I would point out here. And then he goes on to talk about what it means to be born from the Spirit. And he introduces this flesh-spirit contrast in verses really 5 through verse 8, that we're born from the Spirit. And in fact, there's another word play here in verse 8. Most English translations say, the wind blows wherever it pleases. Mm-hmm. There's a word play there because the word wind is the exact same word that just before that in verse 5 is translated as spirit.
Yeah.
So spirit in verse 5, verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Verse 7, you must be born from above. And then verse 8, the Spirit blows wherever it pleases. And in fact, the verb blows is just the verb form of this. The pneuma, pne, the mm-hmm. spirit or wind blows wherever it wills. And this introduces here, again, an important theme throughout the Gospel of John, and that is the role of the Holy Spirit is going to become prominent throughout this gospel, that Jesus is here to breathe or blow this wind, this Holy Spirit upon God's people, which he will prophesy later that he's going to do. And then by the end of chapter 20, actually shows it being fulfilled, this granting of the Spirit to his people.
Yeah, and that involves breathing, doesn't it, in that context?
Yes, yeah, he breathes the Spirit. I'd have to look again to see if it might be the same word there.
Right, yeah.
I think it is, but yeah. He's blowing that wind, right? Which also, I mean, connotes a lot. When you talk about the blowing wind from God, you think about the creation story mm-hmm. in Genesis 1 of light and darkness, and over the darkness is hovering this wind or spirit from God.
Right. I was going to say, because that kind of holds up
new creation.
It holds up in both, doesn't it? That's one thing that was unique to me about both Greek and Hebrew. In both cases, their word for spirit is the same word for wind. So that's one image that kind of, all throughout Scripture, you know, it happens in Hebrew, then it happens again in Greek. That's, to me, a fascinating thing.
That's right. Yeah, in most ancient languages, especially certainly the biblical languages, that's the case. And we just make a distinction in English, and so translators don't know whether to put wind or spirit there, and so we miss that connection.
Mm. Mm. Great. So you've gotten us started here looking at Nicodemus coming to understand what it means to be the one who's from on high. You know, Jesus, all throughout this gospel, is really going to position himself in terms of his authority and where he comes from. I know we're going to be looking at that quite a bit in some of the later chapters as we get to them. So, Keith, appreciate your insights on this. Some good stuff to dig deeply into, and we'll look forward to hearing from you on chapter 4 next week.
Very good. Thanks, Mark.
You've been listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources about Christian life and leadership, or if you'd like to subscribe, be sure to check out our website, kingdomupgrowth.com.